Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 27 September 2023. It is Wednesday night, of course, obviously. Tomorrow being Thursday. I will be in office tomorrow between 9 to 4 Eastern. Crystal will not be here tomorrow. She's going to spend the day tomorrow with her mommy. As you know, today was her daddy's funeral. And I was there all afternoon with them. You know, one thing I have to say about going to a funeral for someone who was born again and knows Christ, it's different. It's hard, but it's easier. And it was a good service, a good funeral, if you will. And the preacher did a good job bringing forth some very good points. After the service, they served dinner in the fellowship hall of the church, and overall, for what it was, it was a good service. And I have to say that I miss Johnny. I've known him for a lot of years. He used to help me cut wood to heat my house back when both of us were younger, and we could get out and do that. He was a hard worker, and we spent a lot of time together, talked about different things. So a friend going on to be with heaven, to be with her Father in heaven, makes my journey and the completionist journey a little sweeter. Folks, as time goes along, it truly does. And as I said, tomorrow will be in office all day tomorrow. If you call and talk to us, if you want to, at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Now, if you want to place an order tomorrow, I can definitely take the orders. They may not get filled the next week, but I'll take them. I think we can do credit card deposits, whatever you want to do, folks. Tomorrow, I'll do my best to fill the void with Crystal Knight here tomorrow. I know you all going to miss her. She's a huge part of this ministry, has been my right-hand man, that's what I call her, for about 23 years now in the office. She knows how to do it and all about it. And of course, also, we have the calendars available. If you want to receive a call to decision calendar, I think they're beautiful calendars. I really do. The inspirational pictures this year. If you want to receive one, there's no charge, not even shipping. You call and give us your name and address. We'll send one right out to you. And they give us your phone number, too, because sometimes they come back to us for the silliest of reasons, and then we don't know how to get a hold of you to let you know why you didn't get it. So you feel free to call tomorrow. If you want a calendar from Call Decision, you be sure and just call tomorrow, like I said, and tell us you want it, and you got it, all right? And, of course, we're having Bible study this weekend at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Well, I'd love for you to join us. It'll be the last time you can do it on live stream. You go to PastorButch.com and click on live stream at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. There will be 11:30 a.m. We will have Christian Worldview News. And sometime during that hour, we're going to explain to everybody how you can catch us next time we're together, which will be the last Saturday of next month, on Rumble. Yeah, we'll be on Rumble, Lord willing. We'll explain to you Saturday in the second hour of the Bible study. The third hour at 1 o'clock Eastern, we're going to be joined by Chuck Christmar, a man that I truly have learned to admire and respect for his stand in truth. He'll be joining us live by Zoom. I hope you'll join us for all three parts of that, okay? And we do take phone calls, as you know. You can call and share, ask a prayer request, testimony, whatever you want to do the first half hour. The second hour is on current events, Christian Worldview News. And the third hour is Bible study and discussion. You're going to love it all. I know you will. So join us, folks, on live stream. Go to PastorBush.com or call on the phone at 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. I mentioned one more thing before moving to our guests. We still offer through this ministry a fantastic product called Sugar to Fiber. Now, folks, if you're pre-diabetic or diabetic, Sugar to Fiber will cut your numbers by about a third. I know from personal experience on this. We offer it. We have it here available if you want it. All you have to do is call and order it. You can order tomorrow if you like to. We would be loved for you to try. If you don't like, send it back. Get your money back. Sugar to Fiber is the name of it. And I think the price, my price is $29.95 or $24.95. I have to look and see. But, folks, the product works. It actually works. So if you want to get that, just let us know. And tomorrow will be the last day we're going to offer all three of my books. I'm sorry, all six of my books on sale for $42.95. That's all six of them. I hope to take advantage of it because after tomorrow, that's going to end for this month. So all six of the books I've written, I'm working now on the seventh one. You're welcome. I mean, we'd love to have for you have them. If you don't like them, send them back to us again. We'll give money back to you. We don't want you to have anything from us you don't like. All right? So, again, call tomorrow at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Our guest tonight, I think, is going to be a very pleasant teacher tonight. On the topic of dates in the Bible, dates that we pick for different things, like the day Christ was born on 25th December and all kinds of things. We're going to find out this is not true. We're going to talk them into Mr. Tim Keys. His website is godsavetheking.org. Godsavetheking.org. Mr. Keys, Tim Keys, has studied the scriptures about 40 years of research into what the Nativity really would have looked like, basically and historically, in what we would call Christ's birth, of course, and as in contrast to the traditional beliefs. We're going to discuss other things beside that, too. But listen, folks, I didn't know these things. I didn't know how pagan Christmas and Easter and all those things were. I did not know. But once I knew, I had to make a choice. Do I continue to do them because it's a custom of man and to make my family happy? Or to stand on the Word of God in the truth and change. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a very unpleasant change, especially Christmas. It'll make your family think you're nuts. And I'm dead serious about that. But anyway, we'll get that in just a minute. Let's go to our guest, Mr. Tim Keys. Tim, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
It is so good to have you, my friend, and I do mean that. I thank you for joining us tonight. I'm excited to talk to you tonight about what we're going to discuss. And I really mean that because very few people that I run into, especially in we'll say regular churches, are have the courage to approach this topic and expose our paganism in the churches. They don't want to expose that, do they?
That's very correct. I mean, I run into an awful lot of people that get pretty upset when I tell them that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th.
But tell the folks a little bit about Tim Keys. I mean, who are you and where are you from and how did you get involved in this?
Okay, well, I'm originally from the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I grew up there, went to school there. I was initially a music major in college, and then after I got my first bachelor's degree, I went on to Bible college, undergraduate degree, and then a master's degree in biblical theology. And then in the mid-1980s, I was introduced to this curious fact that Jesus may not have been born on December 25th, and that grabbed a hold of me, and that has been my specialty ever since. I teach on a wide variety of biblical topics, but it's my specialty.
Now, you discovered that when, did you say? When did that first come to your attention?
It first was brought to my attention in the mid-1980s.
Mm-hmm. And who brought you attention?
Well, I read a book back at that time. It's no longer in print, but you can still get it. There was a book put out by an author named Ernest Martin, and Ernest Martin wrote a book that he published in 1980 that was called The Birth of Christ Recalculated. And he was working in conjunction with some very powerful researchers. He was working in conjunction with, I always forget his first name, but his last name is Finnegan. And Mr. Finnegan is one of the most preeminent biblical chronologists in the world. So if you want to know and understand dates, this man was an absolute expert, and he and Mr. Martin were working together along with the Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles.
And wait a minute now. The Griffith Observatory, what's it have to do with the birth of Christ?
Okay, well, it has to do with the astronomy. Is really what it boils down to, because as we well know, in Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men arrived at the court of Herod the Great, they said, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." So that has been a question that has made biblical researchers curious for, 2,000 years is, wait a second, what did they see? What did they see in the night sky that told them that the King of the Jews had been born? And how did they even know what to look for? So,
what were you doing when this was first revealed to you? What were you doing? What was your occupation?
At the time, I was a painting contractor while attending Bible college.
You were going to Bible college. And Bible college,
yes,
I'm sure, taught you the standard material, right?
Yeah, for the most part, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Christmas and Easter and all that and all the other things. And
correct,
When you first saw that, when I first come to the knowledge of this, I was quite a bit shocked and a little bit perturbed. I mean, I didn't want to believe it. I did not want to believe it because I knew it would make me stand out, really be an oddball in my family. How'd you feel about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, mine was similar but a little bit different because I was raised in a predominant Christian denomination that I already was starting to question some of their hardline dogmas. I was going, really? Is that really true? Is that really what the Bible says? Or is that just simply your denominational dogma? So I was already kind of asking some of those questions. So when someone came to me and said, hey, did you realize that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th? I had two reactions. One reaction was, oh, you're joking, right? Please tell me you're joking. But then the flip side was, oh, God, I bet you're right. Oh, my word, I bet you're right. And that was, like I said, they introduced me to Mr. Martin's book, Ernest Martin, his book, The Birth of Christ Recalculated. And I read that, and I read his, his hypothesis behind what he felt was correct, and I've never looked back. I believe he was correct, and I've continued in that same train of thought ever since. I believe I've actually added to it in many ways. I think I know some things that Mr. Martin does not. And wow, I mean, just what a ride ever since.
Goodness gracious. Well, we got a lot to talk about. I just want to get your background here, too. When you first.
Understandable.
Well, this is. You and I, we. Knowledge sometimes is always wonderful, and it's always a powerful thing to know. But it can have growing pains too, can it?
Yes, it can. Absolutely.
And so what did your family say when you said, Dad or Mom or whatever, Christ wasn't born on December 25th? Why'd they say that?
Well, that's where you and I have a very similar experience, and that my family thought I was crazy. They couldn't believe that I thought such a thing was true. You know, rolled their eyes and went, "Oh my word! Here goes Tim off on some tangent again. Something, you know, that he thinks he knows that we don't, and he's crazy." Yep, they thought I was certifiable.
Well, good. I wasn't by myself on that. And you know, I had to, and I'm just sharing this with everybody, I had to wean myself. I mean, I didn't cut a cold turkey. I didn't, because I wasn't sure all the details yet. So I didn't cut off cold turkey. But I weaned myself over a period of about 4 years before I finally realized this just isn't right. And I finally had to come to the realization that I had to change. And, you know, and that's hard. Traditions are hard to break. Christ told the Pharisees, "By your traditions, you make null my words," so to speak. So traditions are hard to break, aren't they?
Yes, they are. As a matter of fact, I tell this to people a lot, which is because I have now had coming up on 40 years that I have been researching this, that is a long time for me to incrementally change my mind and also to learn things, because as you hinted at the top of the show, I can help put the birth of Christ into its historical context. And boy, does that change things. So there are things about this story that I have learned over 40 years of research that I have the benefit of. Yeah, I got to learn this very slowly, very incrementally, whereas someone who is listening to this, who hasn't heard this before, this is going to come as a real shock, because
yes,
I'm going to drop some bombs on them that they're not expecting.
And by the way, folks, the date is in the Bible pretty close to what the actual day was. Now, I'm dead serious. You can find this. I'm not going to tell you to look for it. It's in your Bible. You have to do a little bit of studying to find it, but it's in there. We're going to discuss other things, too, folks, besides just Christmas in a minute. We're going to take phone calls, and, of course, next half hour, as always. So when you discover this and you started putting it all together, you said over 40 years you've been studying this. What did you find out that the modern-day church, and I don't mean to sound nasty because I did it, too, with the Christmas trees and the three wise men and the manger scenes and all that, what are we doing? Other than worshiping on a pagan day, what are we doing wrong?
Well, I think the thing that surprised me the most is that even though I learned the correct date back in the mid-80s, here's the mistake that I made and that a lot of other people made, which is that we realized that the date was incorrect, and then we learn from the Bible, like you said, what I believe the correct date is. But initially, I didn't think it really changed the traditional story that I was used to all that much. I made an assumption. My assumption was, okay, well, the date is different, but the story's really pretty much the same, isn't it? But then over time, I realized that when you correct the date, you're correcting one misconception that then reveals another misconception. And then when you correct that misconception, it reveals another one, and the next thing you know, the dominoes are all going down, and all of a sudden the traditional nativity story that we've all heard for centuries, you're going, oh my word, it's incorrect. It's
and
not right.
And each domino that falls hurts. You're ripping something out of your mind and your soul that you believe you knew was right for 30, 40, 50 years, and now you don't want to admit it's wrong because it hurts. Go ahead.
That's correct. Yes, sir. Well, just a couple of examples, and some of these are not theologically critical, but at the same time, we carry around these pictures in our head of what we think the nativity looked like, and what I've discovered is, oh my word, maybe they don't. So here's just a couple of quick examples that we can talk about. We can look a little more in depth, but maybe kind of shock your listeners a little bit. Like number one, the shepherds and the magi were both not at the birth of Christ. They weren't there at the same time.
That's true.
Despite what we love to do with our nativity scenes that we quote-unquote, you know, put out at Christmas, the shepherds were there on the night of his birth. The Magi arrived minimum of 1 year later, possibly
closer
as much
to 2 years.
2 years later.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, possibly as much as two, because of what Herod said about, you know, the slaughter of the innocents and wanting to kill every male child in and around Bethlehem 2 years and younger. See? So, yeah, so there's one, is that the shepherds and the Magi weren't there at the same time. Okay? Another one that will surprise people is that while Scripture tells us very plainly that Jesus was laid in a manger, it does not say that he was born in a stable, and he was not. He was not born in a stable because that's not where you find a manger in traditional Judean architecture.
That's good.
So that's a surprise
to
a lot of people.
Okay,
I'll explain that one to you. Yeah, this is a good one. So in Western culture, when we think, now a manger is a feeding trough for animals. That is correct, that is true, and that's factual, right? But in our culture, in Western culture, in Western Europe, and then in the United States, we typically keep animals in a stable, and then the feeding trough is in the stable, right? That makes sense. So on one hand, that makes complete sense, but when you look at ancient Judean architecture, and if the people involved were commoners, which is what Joseph and Mary were after a fashion, economically they were commoners. They were royalty. They were of the house of David, but economically they would have been commoners, which means their household animals would have been kept in the house. That's how they did it. The traditional Judean architectures that you would have had a large one-room house, it would have been rectangular, and then at one end of the rectangle, they would literally dig down into the earth about 3 feet to create a lower level where they would keep the household animals, a cow, maybe a donkey, and maybe a couple of goats or a couple of sheep, and then during the night, they would put the animals in the house because it would help, number one, it would keep them safe, keep them from being stolen, and then also it would add extra heat to the house. And then during the day, they would open a door and they would march the animals out into a courtyard or a paddock or something, or tie them up, tether them up, and leave them outside. But at night, they were literally in the house. And that area where they would dig down into the earth, it would create a ledge or a shelf, and they would literally dig into the bedrock and create a feeding trough on that ledge or on that shelf, and that was the manger. So believe it or not, a manger was actually in the living room of a traditional Judean home. He wouldn't have been born in a stable. He would have been born in a traditional Judean house.
Okay, and so that means that there wasn't any room at the inn. He was put into a house?
Okay, well, here's the thing. That's another part of the puzzle, is that the Greek word for inn is not the word for a motel. It's not the word for a traditional commercial traveler's inn. The Greek word that's used there is kataluma, and kataluma means guest room. Right. The correct word for a commercial traveler's inn is a pondokian. And we see the word pondokian used in the story of the Good Samaritan, for example, where the Good Samaritan takes the wounded man to an inn, to a pondokian, and pays the innkeeper to keep him there. Right.
So there wasn't any room in the guest room.
There's no room in the guest room, exactly. So if you can picture it in your head, you've got a large rectangular room. At one end, you've got the household animals. And then at the other end, you would use some heavy curtains or maybe a knee wall, and you would create a private room for your guests called the kataluma, right? And it just simply means there was no room in the guest room, so Joseph and Mary slept in the large common room with all of the other family members, and then the manger, the feeding trough for the animals, made a convenient little bed for the newborn Jesus.
And, you know, I've had told me now, what difference does it make what date you pick? He was born. It does make a difference, a huge difference, especially when you see the paganism tied to it. But go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, to chime in on what you just said there, my friend, if he was born on December 25th, well, you just can't get away from the pagan association with December 25th. But when you flip it completely over, the reason it does make such a huge difference is because when you know the correct date he was born, it lines up with legitimate biblical holy days, Jewish holy days. Because
now, folks, that's important. That's important. They line up with Israel's holy days, not just Jewish, but Israel's holy days. Yes, go ahead.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Exactly, because see, the nativity, we make, here's another common mistake. I'm gonna kind of bend your brain a little bit here, Pastor, and your listeners.
Go ahead.
The nativity is not a Christian story. It's a Jewish story. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were Jewish. They weren't Christians yet.
No, they
Christianity
weren't.
Didn't exist for another 30 years. So Joseph, Mary, and Jesus would have been Jewish through and through, and everything they did would have testified to their Jewishness. So the fact that he was born on a, and thank you, my friend, and an Israeli holy day, not just a Jewish day, but for the nation of Israel, on a holy day, and also, frankly, it's also a civil holiday that was extremely important as well.
Well, now, make this point also. Didn't, or hasn't, and still happening, most huge prophecy fulfillments happen during the Israeli holy days?
Oh, all kinds of them do, yes. It's very, very common to see that happen. Extremely common, yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, so, like, for example, you know, one of the things that is part of this research is what did the Magi see? What was the celestial signs that the Magi saw? And it turns out that you also have these celestial signs occurring on Jewish holidays as well. And that makes complete sense because the Jewish religious calendar is an astronomical calendar. It's determined by the signs in the heavens, and that goes actually all the way back to Genesis 1:14, where God says he created the sun and the moon and the stars, and he created them for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And those four words in Hebrew go way beyond just a calendar. They're deeply significant, deeply significant.
You go ahead. You're doing great. I'm just listening now, and I'll chime in once in a while.
All right. Well, tell you what. I'll tell you a little bit about.
All right. Hang
of,
on through the break. Hang on through the break. That
absolutely.
Was first fast segment, folks. Back at the break, we'll get the phone call next half hour. Also, to me, this is very interesting. 844-769-2944. Well, not taking calls about 22 or thereabouts, but or quarter till, because I got a lot more questions to ask him, a lot more information for him to share. Don't y'all go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. with organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we are back. You know that song, it may not seem like it fits this program tonight, but it does. This is war. We're actually fighting for the war for the minds and the souls of individuals. And I said, I was talking to Tim during the break, and I'm going to say it on the air. And that's, if I make some listeners angry, I'm sorry about that. But you proved me wrong, and then I'll apologize to you. The fact is, once you hear the truth, you're accountable to do the truth. Once you hear the truth, and you can confirm it on your own, but once you come to knowledge of truth, and you ignore that truth, it becomes sin to you. Now, this is just the way it is, and I can't help it. I didn't write the Bible. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just a plain old hillbilly preacher is all that I am. But truth has always made me feel better when I accepted it. It was hard sometimes to accept the truth and to change your mind on things that for all your life you knew was Bible because everybody in the church did it. But anyway, tonight we're going to discuss some more things on probably another program. Tonight we're discussing the paganism of Christmas. And Christmas was not started by the early church. Christmas is a pagan holiday adopted by the Roman Catholic Church to satisfy pagans with their false religion so they could be baptized into the Catholic Church. I'm telling the truth on this. Am I telling the truth so far, Tim?
Yes, sir. Yes, you are.
You know, and it's hard. And I'm not throwing stones. I'm just telling the truth, people, because I love you enough to tell you the truth. You can get mad if you want to and quit listening. That's up to you. But it won't change the truth whether you're mad at me or not. You know, they tried to crucify the truth on the cross of Calvary. It didn't last, did it? Well, you can ignore the truth, crucify the truth. You can call me a liar. You can crucify me if you want to. But that doesn't change the truth of the Word of God. And to worship Him by tradition, according to what Christ said, is a sin. a sin. Now, we got to move on. So, he was not born on December 25th. That we know in the Bible, by the way. The Bible does teach that. The Bible gives you an idea in the Scripture when he's born. Would you mind letting the folks know how you discovered the day or the near the day, and what did you find out about that?
Absolutely. Well, it's cryptic, right? So what it is, it's in a kind of code. And where we find it is in Revelation chapter 12. You would think that's a strange place to look, but that's where we find it, because in Revelation chapter 12, the Apostle John saw a vision, and he said that he beheld a woman clothed with the sun and the moon underneath her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And what he was seeing, very simply, is he was seeing a vision of constellations in the night sky. The woman clothed with the sun is the constellation Virgo. So that's the woman, right? And by the way, you know, in Latin, the word Virgo means virgin. Are there any virgins in the Bible? Last time I checked, there was a pretty important virgin in the Bible, right? And it says that she was clothed with the sun. So just to help the listeners out, if they've never heard this before, I want you to imagine an outline figure of a woman, but I want you to turn her upside down on her head, okay? And she's a little bit of an angle with her head to the right and then her feet up and to the left. And it's on the western horizon. Virgo is starting to drop below the horizon. Her head is dropping below the horizon, and the setting sun is right smack in the middle of her body. So that is a woman clothed with the sun. And then because her feet are up to the left, the moon is actually between her feet and the horizon. So that is a woman clothed with the sun and the moon underneath her feet. And then the part that you can't see, you would actually have to see it the following morning at sunrise, is that on her head is the constellation Leo. And then in ancient understanding, the constellation Leo was the royal constellation. That was the constellation of the king. So that's why it's called a crown. So on her head is a crown of 12 stars. And what makes this very provocative is that Leo has nine what are called NEO stars. NEO stands for naked eye observable stars. But it says that it was a crown of 12 stars. That is because there were three planets in Leo at the same time, making it a total of 12 quote-unquote stars. And so what this means is that you can take these things. You can take a woman clothed with the sun and the moon underneath her feet and on her head a crown of 12 stars, and you can plug that into an astronomy program and a computer, and the computer can spit out the days and times when such a sign would have been visible. And what makes it just off the chart amazing is that that sign is only visible about once every 2,000 years. And one of those days would have been September 11th of 3 BC, which when you put together the other historical information surrounding the Nativity, the fact that it was during the reign of Augustus Caesar and it was during the reign of Herod the king, and that it operated in conjunction with Zacharias serving the temple, and you take all of these other chronological indicators and you put them all together like a jigsaw puzzle, it turns out that September 11th of 3 BC fits like a hand in a glove. But what makes it even better is not the date on the Gregorian calendar, but the date on the Jewish religious calendar, like we were talking about earlier. And what it turns out to be is it turns out that Jesus was born on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, the first day of their civil new year.
And folks, you can find it. I mean, he mentions Zacharias and his turn to priesthood. If you'll find the month that he that he served as a priest, and when Mary come to Elizabeth and John the Baptist left in his mother's womb, you can find the estimate of how old John was in the womb and how many months later Christ was born. It comes out in September. It really, truly does. It does.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yep.
And then, but I've had people tell me, well, so why? Born in September, he was conceived in December then. Ever heard that?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. He would have been conceived in December, and chances are he was conceived during the Feast of Hanukkah.
So, folks, this all ties together to fulfill the holy days of the Old Testament in Israel. All these days are coming together to fulfill the things, the resurrection, the ascension, all these things. Day of Pentecost, all fulfilled on holy days in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be shocked. Don't be upset. Rejoice in the fact that you understand that this fulfilled prophecy right to the day when Christ was born. That is so exciting.
Absolutely.
For a while it was hard to accept the fact. Well, we'll celebrate Christmas on the day he was conceived in. We'll put up the tree and we'll have that with the presents and all that. Now, wait a minute. Where did the tree come from? Who had the idea of the Christmas tree? And where did the word Christmas come from? Christmas. And where did the idea come from that we give gifts to each other? And to me, the Magi, and by the way, it's we have the song, We Three Men, a Boy. I mean, no. That doesn't specify how many wise men there were. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say three. It mentions three gifts, but doesn't say three wise men, does it?
That is correct. Yep, that's correct.
Just real quickly, we're going to phone call. We'll get to Mick and Esther, all of you, I promise. From what you've been able to discern, how many wise men were there, and were they kings, as we have in the song?
Well, they were not kings. We know that. What they were is they were king makers, okay? Because let me give you a little illustration here that'll help people out. I want you to imagine that we can somehow magically transport ourselves about 2,000 years into the future. And when we get there, we discover a book. And that book had recently been written. It had been written within a couple of years of our arrival. And that book is entitled A World History of the 20th Century, right? And you and I were from the 20th century, so we pick it up and we read it, and we notice that a big part of the book is about the Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union. So we read the chapter, and we discover, okay, well, they mention the United States, but the entire book is from the perspective of the Soviet Union. And we say, whoa, wait a second. You mention the United States, but it's all from the perspective of the Soviet Union. You don't have the story right, okay? Well, the reason I'm using that illustration is because 2,000 years ago, there were two superpowers on the earth. One was the Roman Empire. Who was the second one, Pastor Butch?
You tell me for sure.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't know. It was called the Parthian Empire, and would have been the empire to the east of Israel, right?
Good point. Good point.
Right? So the wise men would have been coming out of the Parthian Empire, and the Parthian Empire had what was called a bicameral government. And bicameral just simply means it's a lot like the United States today, how we have a Senate and then a House of Representatives. Well, they had two houses. The upper house was the royals, the royal family, and then the lower house was the nobles. But the House of the Nobles, here you go, Pastor Butch, the House of the Nobles was called the House of Magistanes, the Magi. There were these noble families, and their job, ready? Their job was to choose the king.
Wow. When the king of
Parthia died, they did not practice linear progression of the crown, right? So when the king died, in other words, it wasn't automatically his oldest son who became king. When the king died, it was the House of Magistanes that they would scrutinize the genealogies, and then they would figure out, well, should it be, who should be the next king? Should it be the king's brother, or the king's son, or maybe an uncle, or who, right? So that's really provocative, because these are the guys that showed up at the court of Herod the Great, and look at what they asked him. They said, where is he who is born king of the Jews? This is their job. These guys are kingmakers. That's what they do. And they showed up at the court of Herod, who is a Roman appointee, and said,
right,
where is the legitimate king?
Very well. And by the way, Kevin Gallagher, folks, of Truth Be Told Radio Network, got me in touch with Tim, and I'm so glad he did, because this is fascinating to me. Fascinating. So the Magi were actually part of a governmental body that chose kings.
Correct. That's who the Magi were. And then within that governmental body, they would have had a subset that would have been the astronomers, because in Mesopotamia, or which is where they would have lived, they had a tradition, about a 3,000-year tradition at this point, of consulting the stars, because they, now, I don't want people to get freaked out here, so I'm going to use a word that people don't like. They believed in a kind of astrology, but it's not the kind of astrology we think of today, which is all about horoscopes and your birth sky and stuff like that. The kind of astrology they believed in, they believed that it influenced kings and nations. So therefore, when they would go out and quote-unquote read the stars, they believed it was telling them about the king. See, so all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a second. You're looking for signs about the king, right? So now when it says that wise men from the east came to Herod's court and said, we have seen his star in the east, wow, that's really provocative. And then, and like I said, they're kingmakers. That's their job. They came to Jerusalem looking for the legitimate king of Judea, which Herod was not.
That's true.
Herod was not. Herod was a Roman appointee, right? So look at the courage it took these guys to do that, to ride right into Herod's court and say, well, where's the king? Because it's not you.
And then that's why Herod was so frightened and said to kill the youngins 2 years and younger. Let's take a quick phone call. Let's go to Mick in New Mexico. Mick, come on in.
Hey, Butch.
Yes, sir.
Let's get a fun fact. Herod was a bleeping Edomite, okay? Am I right?
Tim says he was, yes.
Okay, now then, let's see about this Jewish nonsense. My ancestor's nephew was not a Jew. And who am I talking about? Jesus. You understand? He was never a Jew. That's Jewish baloney.
Was he not born of the tribe of Judah?
Yes, but that word Jewish means, it's another word for N-I-G-G-R.
Well, I see what you're saying, but the Jews were considered the tribe of Judah. That's why I said it was not just Judah or Jews, it was all of Israel's holidays. There was more than one tribe other than Judah, obviously. So I understand what you're saying, but yeah, in a sense, he was the tribe of Judah, and that's what we have always accustomed ourselves called Jews. But anyway, go ahead.
He said, you say I'm a Jew, but I am not a Jew. That's one of the words he said.
Okay. All right.
Now, his stepfather was a what? Not a carpenter. He was a mason. You know,
formation. He laid bricks and blocks, whatever. Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Well,
that'd be it.
All right. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it, Mick. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate that. Yeah, The word Jew has been bandied around so much now, Tim, it doesn't mean what the word Jew means. Because we say Jews are in Israel. That's not true. Most of them over there probably aren't even true Israelites. But anyway, that's beside the point. To call all Israel Jews is a fallacy that we all been suckered into, isn't it?
Yes, sir, I agree. Yeah, there's a lot of confusion surrounding that term because you are correct. You've got the 12 tribes of Israel, and then one of those is the tribe of Judah, which is where the term Jew eventually came from. And now we use it as if it refers to all the tribes of Israel when technically it derived initially only from the tribe of Judah. So most people understand that, but at the end of the day, it is a little bit confusing. Now, our caller there, by the way, he did raise an interesting point, and he is actually correct. This is just a little bit of trivia for your listeners. The Greek word that we erroneously translate carpenter is the Greek word tekton, and it does mean a builder, not a carpenter. It means a builder, okay, which means Jesus and his adopted father Joseph would have been skilled in wood, metal, and stone, because stone was the most common building material. Yep, so they were builders. Yep.
I have some very intelligent listeners. A mixed very intelligent study here. He really is. Let's go to Esther in Washington State. Esther, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Pastor Butch. I did not get your speaker's name.
Tim Keyes, K-E-Y-E-S, like car keys with an E-S. Tim Keyes.
K-E-Y-E-S.
Yes, right.
Okay. And does he have a website or
yes,
a ministry or...
The website is godsavetheking.org.
Okay. Now, is it possible, I don't know if you do, but is it possible for you to put this program, you know, a transcript of this program on your site and on Mr. Key's site? Because I would gladly pay $5 to get this transcript.
Well, I appreciate that. We can do that. We can get a CD for you, a transcript, and have somebody have to type it out and everything. That's a little bit time-consuming, but we can get a CD to you.
Okay, but the thing is I think millions of people would love to get a transcript of this program. You hit on so many points that just raised my spirit, and we know, like, we're in darkness now, but the darker the frequencies get, the brighter the light frequency becomes.
That's true.
And light has the highest frequency because it's based on truth.
That's very
and
true.
So thank you so much, Mr. Keyes. I am indebted to you, as there are many people who are listening to you.
Well, Esther, if you want to take the time and you'll do it, I'll send you a CD. If you want to type it up and put it in a transcript, we'll use it. That's up to you. It takes some time to do that.
I would love to. Thank you for that opportunity.
I'd love to share. Send me your snail mail address, regular address, and I will have my producer mail you a copy of the nice program.
Okay. How do I get a hold of you or to give you my address?
You can call the office tomorrow. I'll be in from 9 to 4 Eastern at 304-846.
All right.
4448.
4448.
Yes, ma'am.
304-846-4448.
Yes, ma'am. If you want to type it up, that'd be great.
I'm a great typist.
All right. Well, I'm glad
so
you said that. All right. Thanks
so
for the call. Appreciate
it. For this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor.
You're more than welcome. More than welcome.
I am blessed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
All right. Let's go to Alabama. Clear down out in the country and talk to Daryl. Daryl, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, Pastor Butch. Did he say how we came up with December 25th as Christ's birthday?
Well, I mentioned it myself as a tradition of the Roman Catholic Church to bring in paganism. Go ahead.
Do you want me to answer that, Pastor?
Go ahead, Tim, yes.
Well, here's the funny part. So for about 200 years after Jesus walked the earth, no one paid any attention. We don't have a single solitary record until the early 3rd century A.D. that anybody paid any attention whatsoever to what day Jesus was born. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a couple of people started writing about it. And interestingly enough, the early theories were actually based off of when they believed that God created the world. Not off of anything else. What it wasn't, what a lot of people assume, but was not the case, was that there was this chain of evidence that had been handed down from Jesus to John, and then from John to, his disciple, and then from his disciple to his disciple, and that they passed down this knowledge. That is actually not what happened. It was just some random guy went, hey, gee, you know, I wonder when Jesus was born, and he actually used a very bizarre theory to try to figure it out, and they came up with a late December framework that then later on, as Pastor Butch has said, which I completely agree with, it got absorbed into the Roman Catholic tradition, and then it got codified as December 25th.
That helped. That explains things.
But for 200 years, no one paid any attention.
Go ahead, Darryl.
Okay. All right. I was just wondering how they came up with that.
Well, there you go. Good question.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome, Darryl. Thank you. Very good call. Thank you. All right. We're running out of time. Let's go to Bruce in Ohio. Bruce, come in. You got about 1 minute or less. Got to hurry.
Hello, Pastor Butch and Jim. I want to ask your guest, there was a comet called the Child that went through the comet Virgo on September 23rd, very near the Day of Atonement, around major fall feast. I wonder if he was aware of that. Did he even think that's a sign of the Lord's return?
The one just recently, yeah. I didn't pay a whole lot of close attention.
It was called the Child, too. Go ahead.
Well, I was aware of it. The holy thing is comets in ancient archaeo astronomy, comets were always an evil omen. So I pretty much ignore comets when it comes to whether they were or were not any part of this, because comets were considered evil. So I usually kind of, it's not that I won't look at it and I won't consider it, but that they're usually evil. Yeah.
But somebody nicknamed the comet the Child, though. It's kind of unique, I think.
Yeah, that's what it is. I agree with you there. It is unique. Yeah.
Well, Bruce, thanks for calling. I hate to run, but running out of time so quickly. And Tim, can we do this again sometime?
Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right. And folks, his website is GodSaveTheKing.org. Check it out. See what you get from him. Talk to him, email him, whatever. And Tim, I'll be in touch. All right?
Yes, sir.
God bless, my friend. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow in the office. Have a wonderful night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.